Welcome to a burning fire. Jim Boyd is your speaker. Today I want to begin what may be a rather extended series of lessons in the study of one of the books of the New Testament, and it will take a number of weeks to cover the material. I want us to spend our time studying, line by line and phrase by phrase, the book of Romans. And why the book of Romans above all the 66 books of the Bible? Well, of course, the Bible is God's revelation to man and is how God has provided for the salvation of sinful humanity. Sometimes we hear people talk about salvation being by grace alone or by faith alone, but the Bible does not teach such things as that. There are so many different parts and components to the system of salvation that God has designed and delivered by and through the authority of Jesus Christ. And the book of Romans, more than maybe any other book of the Bible, includes all of the different components of this system. Romans is a doctrinal treatise. It's an inspired discussion of the way that God saves man. Now, all to be saved, and that's emphasized in the book of Romans. And all are saved the same way, that's emphasized in the book of Romans. And the way of salvation is by God's grace and His mercy and His love. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. And it's by the faith of man, an obedient faith to the law of Jesus Christ. I've just mentioned here some of the parts of the system of salvation that we find here in the book of Romans. Now, the writer of the book is the Apostle Paul. The author of the book, the one that originated it, of course, is deity, the Holy Spirit. And we certainly need to make the distinction between the author and the writer. Deity used the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Christ, as the writer of the book of Romans. And as we learn in the first verses of the book, it was written to the church in Rome. Now, we have no specific information in the Scripture as to the time or to the circumstances of the origin and the establishment of the church in Rome. Now we do read in Acts chapter 2 that on the day of Pentecost, when there were so many Jews from all around the world that had come to celebrate that holy day, we read that there were some sojourners from Rome, and possibly some of those of Rome were converted that day, as some 3,000 people were, and took the faith of Jesus Christ back to Rome. Well, whatever that be the case, the church in Rome was, by the time of the writing of the book of Romans, known throughout the world for its faith and its obedience. Such is emphasized in the first chapter and also in the 16th chapter. Now, the study of this book reveals some of the very obvious purposes of it. The book of Romans shows that there is a need of salvation for both Jew and Gentile, a universal need. But fortunately, it also shows that all can be saved from their sins, and, as I have mentioned, all will be saved the same way. That's emphasized in this book. And that way is presented to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, there is no other system of salvation than the one through Christ. So Romans presents this system of salvation as a system originated by God's love and His mercy and His grace toward man, and the shedding of the blood of Christ and His resurrection from the dead. And man must believe in Christ, and he must be obedient to the law of Jesus Christ. These things are emphasized in this book. Now, Paul wrote this letter in the latter part of his third missionary journey, and probably from the city of Corinth, though we're not sure about that, and maybe by this time the church had been in existence since Pentecost about 20, 25, maybe 30 years. All of that is relatively unimportant. The message of salvation is what we want to emphasize in the number of weeks that we're going to be studying the book of Romans. I begin reading to you now from the very first chapter. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I mentioned, God is the author of all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The Apostle Paul is the one through whom God sent this letter or this epistle. And Paul identifies himself as a servant. Indeed, the very property of one that is owned like a slave. He was called to be an apostle of Christ. An apostle is one that is especially chosen and sent, a special messenger with authority to speak on the behalf of the one who sent him. And he was appointed for the task of spreading the gospel of Christ. Now, Paul says of this gospel that the gospel was promised by the prophecies of the Old Testament. I want you to please note, he says these things were expressed by the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. This certainly shows the respect that the Apostle Paul had for the Scriptures that had been given before Christ, foretelling of the coming of the gospel. Now he says concerning Christ, he was of the fleshly lineage of David. In other words, he was the son of David. He was born of Mary. He took on the form of flesh. But he was also the Son of God, and was declared to be the Son of God in a most powerful way. That's by his resurrection from the dead. So we see concerning the nature of Christ here at the very opening verses of the book of Romans. According to the flesh, he was a descendant of David. According to the Spirit of holiness, he was the Son of God. Friend, we see Christ was human because he came through David. He is deity because he came from God. The divine nature being affirmed because he was raised from the dead. Now this is all important in the establishment of the authority of the message that he's going to send. And notice the source of the authority that of which the Paul was writing. From this resurrected Son of God, he had received grace and apostleship, he says. And that's much more than simply being a disciple. All of us who are Christians are the disciples of Christ, but we're not all apostles. There were certain specific qualifications one had to possess to be an apostle. And the special calling to the task was necessary to be an apostle. And the Apostle Paul, though he was not of the original 12 that the Lord had selected, he was, as he termed it, as one born out of due time. But even though he was not among the original 12, again he said, but not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. And notice the phrase that he mentions here in these opening verses. about the obedience to the faith. Friend, salvation is a system of faith. Now, there can't be any doubt that the Bible teaches us that we're saved by faith. But it's not just by a mental agreement that Jesus is the Son of God. It is by a certain kind of faith, and that is an obedient faith. Here we read of the obedience of faith, and we see that this is the same sort of phrase that we find at the very close of the book. Friend, let's understand, when we study the book of Romans, when we talk about salvation by faith, we're talking about salvation by a faith that leads a person to obey the law of Jesus Christ. Now, among those who had been obedient to the faith, they were these Roman brethren. And Paul says that they were called. Friend, to be a Christian, we're all called. How are we called? Why, it's not by some kind of miraculous, spontaneous, emotional explosion. We're called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. And Peter says we're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you'll notice in these opening verses the affectionate expression that he calls them beloved of God. Now, this shows God's attitude toward these people, and it shows Paul's attitude toward his Roman brethren. And he calls them saints. The word saint simply means one who is holy, who has been cleansed, who is sanctified, who is a set-apart person. A person that is a Christian has been set apart from his sins by the blood of Christ. He's a Christian because he is a saint. A saint is a Christian. That's the way the New Testament talks about saints. And then Paul uses the phrase, and it's very familiar in the writings of Paul, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friend, the Apostle Paul recognizes the source of all blessings. And his personal prayer was for the welfare of these Roman Christians. Well, as we continue to read from this book and from this chapter, we're going to see so many things about this which God has delivered, and he designed it, he delivered it, by which mankind is saved. We're not saved by systems of men that they concoct in their denominational creeds. We're saved by the gospel of Christ, we're going to learn very forcefully in this book, and we want to adhere strictly to what the Scripture says. We hope that you'll be listening because, friend, I don't exaggerate when I say a study of the book of Romans may be the most important consideration that you've given anything in all of the days of your life. Not only for your welfare in this life and your service before God and your accountability unto Him, but it will determine your eternal destiny. And we must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we go into the next verses, verses 8 through 15, we're going to see how Paul was a praying man and how he had certain ambitions for wanting to visit with the brethren that were there in Rome. I hope that you will take the time each day to study with us about these wonderful things in the book of Romans. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.